I tell you what, I truly believe the closer we get to revival, the more spiritual attacks we may find ourselves facing. Someone once said, new levels bring new devils. But the closer you get to the treasure, the harder he fights to protect it because he doesn't want to give it up. And he knows his time has come and he senses the power of God encroaching all around. And so the closer we get, the harder he fights because he doesn't want that stuff to happen. But we know that our God is mighty to save. We know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If we were simply conquerors, we would go in and take what belongs to God. But God wants to throw bonuses and surplus, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing into our bosom is what God wants to bless us with. So we're not only conquerors, we are more than conquerors. We not only crush the enemy under the power of the gospel, but we rebuild in its place and allow God's grace to establish grace upon grace and do great things. He not only restores, he goes beyond and builds additional. That's the kind of God we serve. That's why it's so exciting, man. When the enemy starts to fight, we ought to just, instead of getting afraid and depressed, we ought to get excited about it. Because it means God's doing something. Praise God. We've had a lot of spiritual attacks lately. I know some of this bizarre health craziness that I've been going through the last couple weeks, I believe in my heart, is a result of spiritual attacks. I think the enemy has been trying to instill fear in me and shake my confidence and get me looking over my shoulder all the time. A couple weeks ago, I had an episode with some vertigo. Then just this past week, I woke up in the middle of the night when we were in Hagerstown with chest pains. And, you know, the whole time I'm looking over my shoulder at my dad's heart history. Well, I'm eating healthy, I'm exercising, but, you know, my dad had all this going on. Maybe this is that and the other thing. But we just stormed the gates of heaven in prayer, man. And we just had everybody praying. And God not only dispelled any of those fears, but with all the extensive testing they put me through, with the various blood work, upon EKG, upon stress tests and all this thing, the doctors were saying to me, man, your arteries are great. There is no blockages anywhere. You need to just go on and forget about this. Keep going. So I'm like, all right, praise God, man. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to rock and roll, you know, and let and just, you know, the devil is a liar. And God has given me, you know, it was cool when I was in the hospital. I got a chance to really rest a lot, but I got a chance to get in the presence of God. And there was this sense of the tangible presence while I was in that bed. And I was just like, wow, God, I just feel like I could talk to you as though you were sitting right on the edge of the bed with me. And I felt him saying, ask me questions. Because I had so many questions in my mind. So I said, God, what is the source of this? And as I was asking, even in the midst of asking, it was like I could feel his answer come to my mind as if the word supernatural came to mind, that this was a supernatural encounter. This was a spiritual attack. It wasn't physical. And I said, well, God, you know, what should be my reaction to this? You know, how do I respond? Should I, you know, start kind of build, you know, safeguards in my life and all this kind of stuff? And he said, I felt just as clear as day. As I was asking, the words came to my mind, you were destined for more than this. So I take that as God's answer. I believe in prophetic gifts. The word of God declares the power of prophetic gifts. And I stand on that word. And so I receive that as from the Lord, and I'm going to go forth in confidence and boldness. I'm excited. I am absolutely pumped, and I couldn't have had a better week had it gone any other way. Got to spend some time with my sweetheart. Man, she helped me pick out clothes. I was surprised what good taste my wife has in clothes, man. She really steered me away from a couple of really not so good stuff, ugly stuff. She showed me, man. She's like, don't you realize how ugly it is when it does that and the other thing? I'm like, oh, you're right. God is good, man. He gives us, praise God. We've prayed for other people who are under spiritual attack. We were praying for a young lady who just delivered a baby. And I believe the enemy was attacking her. You know, such good news that God has delivered her. But, you know, she threw a clot to her lungs and to her heart, kidneys, and liver started shutting down. When I handled accident claims, I had a woman who I interviewed. Got a recorded statement about her accident. She threw a clot to her brain and died like that the next day. Thankfully, she was a born-again Christian. We celebrated her birthday on the phone while I was talking to her, and the Lord took her home the next day. So those things can take you out in the blink of an eye, and one to her lung, one to her heart. But God prevailed. As we lifted her in prayer, we stormed the gates of heaven in prayer. We rebuked the enemy and came against that thing. They had only given her a 50-50 chance to make it through the night. That girl is alive today. She's recovering. She's doing better. God is good, man. God is good. Isn't God good? Praise God. He calls us to rise up in faith and to fight against the enemy. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices. We don't want to get obsessed with him, so we're paying more attention to the devil than we are to the Lord. But we don't want to be ignorant of the fact that he has devices. He strategizes and schemes. He manipulates, but he is a liar. And we can bust through his lies and all his deception and all of his darkness, because we are standing on the rock of the Word of God. His power and his authority, and he has given, he has conquered death and hell. Praise God. That is our inheritance. And God wants us to know, no matter what plans the devil has against us, it doesn't hold a candle to what our God has prepared for us. It nullifies all of the works of darkness, what God has for us. There's not a devil in hell who can stand against him. There is none who is worthy to stand beside him. And one day every soul is going to bow and worship before him, because he is that kind of God. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I'm here to declare today that our God, our Lord, is an extreme deliverer. Our Lord is an extreme deliverer. He is able to deliver out of extreme situations. He is able to deliver with extreme power and authority. And he is able to deliver with extreme far-reaching results. He is an extreme deliverer. He is the absolute deliverer. He is mighty to save, and there is no limit to his power, his wisdom, or his understanding. Our God is invincible. He is invincible. Amen? Well, let's check this out today. Our God is an extreme deliverer. Turn in your Bibles if you want. You can, if you brought them with you, to Mark chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to have it up here, but you're welcome to follow along in your Bible. Last week, we were looking at Mark chapter 4 as we're making our way through this gospel. We saw last week that the disciples and Jesus were in a storm at sea. God had sent them across the sea, and Jesus said, come on, let's go get in the boat and go across. God has something for us. In the midst of that voyage, the storms arose, the sea churned, and the boat was about to be destroyed by the wind and the waves. The disciples saw Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat and said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And he wakes up and rebukes the wind and rebukes the waves, and the storm just suddenly vaporizes. He says, oh, you of little faith. God doesn't send us out to get destroyed. God sends us to victory. If God had something for us on the other side of the sea, he's going to make sure that we get there to accomplish his purposes. If we will trust him and follow him and rise up in faith, God has even given us authority over the wind and the waves when they stand in the way of his will being accomplished. Praise God. Well, today we're going to find out why God sent them across the sea. He didn't send them there because he just had nothing better to do, or he wanted them to check out some restaurant and had, like, you know, some kind of new chipotle gefilte fish or something. I don't know. They had a purpose. God wanted to demonstrate his glory and power and majesty. Today we're going to find out exactly what it was that he was sending them to do. So let's look at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with chains and shackles, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I could just savor that for about 5 or 10 minutes right there. This man, this demoniac, when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. Wow. That's power. Here was a man in extreme situation. Doesn't get a whole lot more extreme than that situation. That was bad. This man, possessed, it says, by an unclean spirit. Actually, we find out later he had a veritable army of demons living inside of him. Over 2,000 demonic spirits dwelling in that man. It's almost inconceivable. I can imagine that they were spirits of every type. Spirits of hatred, spirits of bitterness, spirits of lust, spirits of covetousness and addiction, spirits of suicide, murderous spirits, filthy, despicable, unclean, demonic spirits of every variety dwelt inside of this poor, wretched man. He was extremely tormented. He lived among the tombs of the dead. He had isolated himself from all of his family and friends and everyone he knew. And he cried out endlessly in agony, day and night and day and night, over and over, just screaming out, crying out in agony and torment, and mutilating his body, cutting himself with sharp rocks. You can imagine what this man looked like.